All right, you get to listen to me for a little bit today. And we're talking about the end times, which is always a little bit interesting, but we'll see where we end up at the end. So we're going through Matthew 24. We're currently at verse 36. So I'll just read them out. I think we're going to the end of the chapter. So no one knows the day or the hour. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know about the flood until it came and took them away. And so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be in the mill grinding, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom, when his master comes, will find him doing so. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all things. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day where he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you'll work with us through this passage, Lord. I pray that your words will be my words, Lord. And I just pray that you'll help to get something out of this, that we may just come to know a deeper appreciation of you. Amen. So, end times. I think if there's one topic that us Christians argue about or have different views, it's end times. If you ask 10 Christians what the end times will look like, or even are we in the end times, and whether we dare answer the question, when will Jesus return, of those 10 Christians, I think we'd get 11 views. Now, I need to say that we're going to be talking about end times a bit in this sermon today, and while I think it's important, I don't think it's all-consuming, and we'll just be aware of that. So anyway, in verse 36 it reads, but of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. So the most important words in that first verse are that day and no one. So firstly, let's look at that day. If we look back at the prior verses, we hear the words the great tribulation. What's that? Well, I'm no expert on the topic, but here's a quick summary. But we need to understand that even with this, there's some conjecture and differing opinions. The Great Tribulation is a time period at the end of times where Jesus, as we read in Revelation 6, will judge the unbelieving, godless inhabitants of the earth. The key word in that sentence is unbelieving. Some think this started in 70 AD. Some think it started in 538 AD when the Rome took power, and some think it's yet to start. My personal view is that the Great Tribulation is yet to come. It will start with the rapture, when all believing Christians will be taken into heaven and escape the Great Tribulation. What we see and what we read about the Great Tribulation, we know is we don't want to be here for it. Earlier in Matthew, we read, woe to those who are children and to those who are nursing in these days. Pray that your escape will not be in the winter or in the Sabbath, for then will be the great tribulation, such as not happened since the beginning of the world until now, nor shall ever be. Unless those days were shortened, no one would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. It is said that the Antichrist will rule, believers will be persecuted, plagues, ecological collapse, confusion, famine, war. Doesn't sound like the best time that I can think of. So that is that day that Jesus was talking about, or the rapture before that day. The next key words in that sentence was no one. So back in our passage, Jesus says, no one knows, not even the angels. The NIV translation states, Jesus said, nor even the Son, but only the Father. If we pause here for a moment, by the Father, Jesus is talking about God. But we know that Jesus is God. So how do we reconcile that Jesus, the all-knowing, perfect human form of God, doesn't know? We need to remember that Jesus is God, but he was also human. And similarly to the fact that the all-powerful Jesus got hungry and needed to eat and sleep while he was on earth, we have to accept that there are some God-like qualities that Jesus didn't have as a human. The knowledge of when the end times were happening were one of those. So no one knows except the Father. Then Jesus goes on to say that it would be similar in the times of Noah. Not in the way that there's a big boat coming, but there will be unexpected. And up until that day, people will be carrying out their normal lives. This is further iterated in verse 40 and 41, where Jesus talks about one man being left in the field and one woman being left in the mill while their companions are taken. Here, Jesus is talking about the rapture at the start of the Great Tribulation. What we know about the Great Tribulation, people won't be carrying out their normal lives. We will not be picking our cotton crops in the Great Tribulation, that is for sure. So if people are acting normally as they were in Noah's time, we know that the Great Tribulation hasn't started yet. So we're talking about the rapture. Two men are out in the field having a chat, planting, harvesting, complaining about the weather, too much rain, too less rain, and then poof, one will be gone. And the other one will be left there looking around, looking for his mate. Jesus isn't telling the story to say one in every two will be taken, but that it'll happen without notice. But where are they being taken? 1 Thessalonians 4 reads, we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be with the Lord. The rapture is a separation and a union. A separation of believers and non-believers, and a union of the believers and the Lord forever. Jesus warns us to keep watch then in verse 42 to verse 44. Here he compares his coming again as the thief in the night, highlighting that he will come at an unexpected hour. I found this comparison of a thief in the night and Jesus a bit left field, but we see it mentioned again in 1 Thessalonians and in Revelation 3. And in these verses, it depicts a sudden, unexpected nature. In Revelation 3, it also highlights the need to stay vigilant, or Jesus may come when we are sleeping. Jesus is reminding us to keep watch, not to get lazy, and to be prepared for the coming of the Son. As humans, it's easy for us to get lazy and comfortable when we know a deadline is coming. One example of this for me is in retail pharmacy a few years ago, there's something called a mystery shopper. A mystery shopper comes to the pharmacy, unbeknownst to the workers. They come in and they ask a few questions and they get a bit of advice and they buy a product and they leave. 10 minutes later, they come back in, ask for the owner, and they give a report of their experience. They judge the interaction against the laws and the standards that need to be upheld for accreditation, and they judge the staff member for the professionalism that they interacted with. I was always a little bit nervous about the possibility of a mystery shopper. What if I didn't ask the right questions? What if I gave the wrong advice? What if my tie wasn't straight? What if? But as I got more experienced and knew what I was doing, I found I wasn't as anxious or worried anymore. And the difference was confidence. Confidence in what I was doing and that I was fulfilling the required standards. When we read passages like the one before us, it's easy to get anxious about it. Jesus is coming at an unannounced time. What if I'm not ready? What if I'm sleeping? What if he comes in the middle of the night? What if I'm in the middle of a sin? What if? The answer is confidence. Confidence in the promise that Jesus has given to us, that when he returns, he will call us home. It is only the guilty that needs to be worried about being judged. And you and I, we've been justified through faith. We've been found faultless. And that right there means that when we read the passages about the Great Tribulation and get scared about what will happen, we have to remember one thing. We'll be watching it from heaven. But as I think about this, I think there's more to the mystery about the timing of Jesus. Jesus goes on to explain in the next few verses, if we relax or get lazy or lose sight of the big picture, Jesus will put us in our place. While I was working the pharmacy, if I knew the mystery shopper was coming in tomorrow, I could have treated all the other customers half-hearted. I could have treated them knowing that the mystery shopper was coming tomorrow, not today. I could have been complacent, not carrying out my work. Likewise, our job on earth is to love Jesus and spread the gospel. If we know Jesus is coming back, it'd be very easy to say, Jesus isn't coming back in my lifetime. Why do I have to bother? I'm just going to take it easy and the next generation can do it. But no, God knows this too. He warns against it. In the next chapter of Matthew, we read the parable of the talents. And there we see a servant cast into the outer darkness because he hid his talent and got lazy and fearful. We are called as Christians to be prepared, eagerly awaiting the coming of the Christ, and not to be sitting on our hands while we wait. This passage is telling us that no one knows the timing of Christ's return and to be ready when it does happen. But this doesn't sit well with some people. They study and study and study, trying to find the hidden message, trying to find the hidden meaning, trying to be the one to find the date. There's a few memories from my childhood that crop up from time to time, and one memory that is a bit random is we were on a family holiday. I was about 10. We're in the car. We went to the snow. It felt like we spent 6 days going to the snow, one day in the snow, and 6 days coming back. But on the way back, we stopped for a little town, and in the caravan park, Mum saw there's a Bible study, so we went. Can't remember the passage, can't remember what we were studying, but what we found was a group of people arguing about the smallest detail of the passage, something seemingly so insignificant, but was all engrossed by it. Most of the study was taken up arguing this one point. Now, anyone that knows my mum knows that she's a quiet woman, rarely speaks up. But in this night, among strangers, she spoke up and said, "Why does it matter? We have been called to have faith like children." That statement of childlike faith has followed me since, and only having a child of my own have I really come to understand it. I have a daughter. She knows most of the time that I love her, and she knows that I will provide for her, and I will protect her. But she doesn't know how much I get paid. She doesn't know when the registration of the car is due. She doesn't know in great detail what I do on a day-to-day basis at work. But she has faith that I'll provide all of her needs, maybe not all of her wants, and that she can trust me to act in her best interest. Most of the time, if I say no, she knows there is a reason, even if she doesn't know why, and even if she doesn't understand it. Likewise with Jesus, if Jesus tells us that no one knows something, not even him, it's not worth our time to go hunting for the answer. What we need to do is trust him and have faith that he knows what he is doing. Jesus didn't say, "I don't know the time, but study day by day and in time I'll reveal it to you." He said, "No one." Now I know this is hard for some people to hear, because how does Jesus not know? Or I want to be in control. Or I saw it on the news, so it must be close. And don't get me wrong, the Bible's given us signs to watch for when we know the end of times is coming close. But if someone knows that they know exactly when it's going to happen, walk away. Even if they say, "God told me." Because I believe "God told me" is one of the most dangerous sentences we've ever said. I'd like to close with a story I heard, and I apologize if you've heard it before. But an angel was at the front gates of heaven, and a guy appeared. This guy didn't know where he was, so the angel asked what he was doing, and the guy said, "I don't know." The angel had never gotten that answer before, so I had to explain that this is the gates of heaven, but to enter, there's some housekeeping. And after some quick introductions, the angel realized that she was talking to the thief from the cross. After asking for his autograph, the angel said, "We've got to get through some questions and then we'll let you in." The thief agreed and they moved on. The angel's first question, "Where do you stand on the doctrine of predestination?" The thief said, "I don't know, I've never heard it before." The angel, a little confused, said, "All right, what about the doctrine of justification by faith?" The thief looked puzzled and said, "What are you talking about?" At this point, the angel got nervous and ran and got the supervisor. The supervisor came and said, "Let's start with something simple. What about women preaching in church?" The thief said, "Never been to church." So in frustration, the supervisor said, "Well, what are you doing here?" The thief simply replied, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." Everything we read in the Bible is important and it needs our attention, but we need the wisdom not to get consumed by things that we don't agree with or we don't understand. In this passage, Jesus is highlighting one simple fact: be prepared for when he comes back. How do we do this? We ensure that we have repented of our sins and we have accepted his gift and we're spreading his word. To have faith like a child and accept that there are things that we don't understand and that things that we don't need to understand is something to aim for. Jesus will come again, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe in 1,000 years. But when he does, he'll take his followers home. Will you be one of them? If you said no to that, or if you are unsure, come and talk to one of the elders or to me or anyone else. When we are called home, we want you by our side. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your gift of Jesus. Thank you that we can stand on the promise that he is coming again sometime to take us home. Help us to not be asleep and to be prepared for that time in eager waiting, Lord. Amen.